and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind! Yes, it's Sunday once again. Dun-da-da-da! June 30th, 2019.
Wow. Here we go.
Yeah.
Buckle up.
Another day in paradise. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And our trusted...
Shut up.
Our trusted producers.
Mark, operator, another one.
All-around great guy. And gal.
I was going to say guy.
I'm sorry. You're messing me up here.
That's all inclusive, though.
I don't begrudge anyone calling me a sound man.
I mean, that's all inclusive, gender neutral.
Well, we are in California. I'm not going to the bathroom with anybody else, but, you know.
Do you need someone to hold your hand? Or?
Wait a minute.
No, but somebody may come in while you're in there.
Yeah, the thought of that horrifies me.
Boy, there's a ton of jokes right there.
I have to be careful.
We should probably put a boulder on top of that rabbit hole.
Somebody got the air conditioning on? Yeah. Boy, I'm also here with Mark Baird, and Red Smith is not coming in today. He's out there taking the day off, which, hey, have a great day, and it's almost the 4th of July, so there you have it. But we have, as a replacement, Mark Baird, and he's down here to talk about all things Second Amendment, great state of Jefferson, and who knows what all you got.
Well, the day in Salem. I mean, I got to go back to that. I'm telling you, that was pretty impressive. We drove up there. It started raining by the time we hit Roseburg. So it's raining and raining and raining. It's getting worse as we get to Portland. We got in the line of trucks about 3 miles from downtown. I mean, this was moving half a mile. Yeah, we thought we weren't even going to get there. At first, we weren't sure what was going on. How stupid are you? What are all these trucks doing in the middle of town today? We're on our way to a protest. So we're driving by the park that's kind of on the backside of the Capitol, and there's a parking space. I said, wait, get that parking place. We'll never see it. No, we'll find another one.
Yeah, right.
3 hours later.
So we drove past that one. Unfortunately, there was a guy crowding one. It was so tight that Wynn had to go out the back of his van to get out of the car. But we got another parking space. We got over to the Capitol, and it was absolutely amazing.
This was the protest about the cap and trade bill?
Cap and trade bill, yeah. And then the liberals in the legislature were so scared of the right-wing militia that was coming to the Capitol that day. The right-wing militia was toddlers, two-year-olds, parents, people that work for a living, loggers,
vicious people.
Miners. It's horrible, man.
Well, they should be scared.
They should be scared. That's what Thomas Jefferson said anyway. But the right-wing militia showed up in droves, thousands of people. Wynn said hundreds of trucks. He's probably right. It sure looked like, it sounded like thousands of trucks, and they won.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard the result. I saw the protest. I was in classes over in Reno at a super seminar for taxes, 3 days of intense and terror indoctrination.
Yeah.
And so I didn't ever get the end result of that. I think we have a caller.
We do. Okay. We do need to get to our guest. We've got Megan Daly on the line. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
You're on the air. Yeah. You know that, right? So don't say anything off color.
Okay. I'm sitting here watching a logging truck being unloaded for a logging show that I'm about to go to at 10:30.
Oh, wow.
We're talking about logging trucks.
Wow, wow.
Here, up in Modoc County, they're having a logging show this morning in the park. So that'll be fun to watch and exciting.
Are you in Alturas or someplace?
No, in Aiden. They have their 150th year anniversary of the town of Aiden this weekend.
Well, there you have it. So you're running for District 1, right?
State Assembly.
Yes. And State Assembly. And let's get right to it. I mean, we kind of joke around here a lot if you haven't sort of got that flavor already. So if we say something really weird, don't just go blow it off. Keep going. excuse me. I'd like to know what your platform is. And let's start there. Or let's talk a little bit about your background maybe first. What qualifies you for the job? What have you done? What's your experience and so forth?
So, Brian and I have been married for 20 years. We have 3 children. We are farmers, dryland wheat farmers. We also have a trucking division attached to that. So we have full-time employees. I do our payroll, all of our compliance, HR, basically everything to do with a small business. You are the HR department when you're a small business owner. I was on the school board, president for 2 years. I did own a plant nursery with a good friend for a few years until Brian was elected, and I took over all of our operations when he started traveling to Sacramento. So I'm a small business owner. I'm very connected to the district. I was born and raised in Shasta County. My family, 4th generation from there, just committed to our district and the issues and the challenges, as well as the blessings of being able to live in such an amazing area and raise your kids here. Wildfire is incredibly important to me to continue the momentum of getting the fuels out of our forests after all the, you know, devastating tragedies that we've had. It's imminent. It's at our doorstep. There's still a lot of work to do. There's been some great legislation that's been passed to get to move that forward. I want to make sure that it actually gets to the ground, gets to work, takes it out, the fuel out of the forest, doesn't get caught up in the bureaucracy and just, you know, filing reports somewhere. I want that money on the ground doing work. Education is obviously a big thing for me sitting on the school board. I have a lot of questions that I'd like answered in regards to rural school districts and how they're being funded to make sure it's fair for them, the kids that are out here in these outlying areas, to make sure they're being able to get the same access. Our sons, just due to lack of teachers, there is a shortage of math teachers in the whole state of California. Nothing against our school district or anything like that. It's just hard in these outlying areas to fill those positions. So in order to, if you are a child that wants to go straight to university, it's hard. You have to do a lot of online classes to be able to fill all those requirements. So I want to make sure that they have the same access as children in an urban area to go to a university if they so choose.
How many full-time employees do you guys have?
We have 3 right now.
Okay.
Megan, can you get your phone closer, or are we on speaker? We have you turned up as much as we can, and it's still kind of hard to hear you.
Okay, my service is not great here.
That's
either,
better.
So
that's better.
I tried to park in the best spot.
All right.
So let's talk about the fire prevention. Do you have a plan for that? And it kind of relates into the water as well, I think, because, you know, in light of the fires that we've had in the past few years, they've been just, you know, horrible and horrific. And, you know, the campfire and the car fire and, gosh, no, you know, who knows, I mean, how many other fires there's been. I mean, I guess there's one down the river right now. I don't know if they've even got it out or not yet.
Yeah, the Lumgree is out. That was fairly small.
Okay. I wasn't sure because I was talking to a hunting buddy of mine down there, and he was telling me where it was at, and I was like, well, you know, I hope they didn't burn up the whole brush patch. But with that said, you know, what is your position? What would you do as, assemblyman or assemblywoman, I guess we're in California, to stop that and to make it better, you know, would it be cut down on fuels? What would your position be?
Well, the first thing is we need to get, it's dead and dying. The forests are dead and dying. And the entire district, according to the CAL FIRE map, is red. It's all in high threat zones, fire zones. So the first thing would be to fire safe our communities right around them. And that, you know, your fire safe councils, they do a lot of great work, and they get on the ground, and they're doing some work right here actually up in Big Valley right away. And it has, it's worked to have members to the district, because you get them on the ground and they see what we're talking about. When you have somebody from LA or San Francisco, they come up here and they've never seen these many trees, and ever. They've never been north of Sacramento. So when you get them on the ground and you tour with them and you show them managed forests, and typically it's private lands, but of course they're doing a much better job of managing their assets, they can see that and explain to them that this is the watershed. We are the watershed for California. And there's a lot of trees out there that are basically weeds, and they need to come out so that we can improve our watersheds as well as fire safe our communities.
That seems like stuff that seems like stuff pretty much everybody knows. I mean, anybody that doesn't live in the city already knows that. The people that live in the cities don't care, because they're the ones that sue to stop all these restoration projects. For example,
right,
in Siskiyou County, we had something like 100 million board feet of timber that needed to come out. And after the environmental lawsuits, which were originated by the people that that some of you guys are always reaching across the aisle to, and after those lawsuits, we were able to harvest 4% of that dead and dying, and the rest of it's still standing there ready to burn again. I mean, these things are patently obvious to anyone with eyes and ears, and it's also obvious people in the cities don't want to do that and aren't going to do it. So what I don't see that as stepping out of the box. I'm sorry, you got to have thick skin on this show, but I don't see you doing anything different that your husband didn't try to do and fail to do when he was assemblyman.
And with that, we do need to go to a break. We'll pick this up on the other side, and we do have a caller, and we'll get to him on the other side.
Yeah, let's give Megan a chance to answer that, and then we'll pick up the caller.
You're listening to KCNR. We're on 1460 AM this morning.
Satellite is offering to our 55 plus a special deal. Find out the two exclusive offers that they have at B&T Satellite. Call 241-3474, 241-DISH.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
BNT Satellite is offering military and first responders two exclusive new offers to show their appreciation for their service. Call 241-3474-241-DISH and find out more from BNT Satellite.
Guys are dancing a jig here to Linda Ronstadt. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoop,
hey,
whoop, whoop.
Hey, wasn't she Jerry Brown's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was her claim to fame there for a little while. Or
was
Jerry's claim to fame.
Was everyone at some point?
Well, wasn't she everyone's girlfriend?
No.
Maybe.
No.
I think that's what
the
football team said. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah. So we'll let Megan answer the question,
yes,
and then we'll go to our caller. How's that?
Megan, are you there?
So, yes, I am.
Okay.
So, I do not consider bipartisan legislation that removes fuels from the forest as failure when those members voted against the Sierra Club in order to get that done, which is incredibly hard for Democrats to do, I'm sure you can imagine. But they did it anyway because they do know that it's important. And also, there's people working, hundreds of people working right now because our biomass plants are still up and going from extension of contracts. And that's all from relationships that we've built, Brian and I. And I'm excited to be able to continue those relationships where I can at least have a conversation with them about our issues and that we are different. Absolutely. Northern California is different than Southern California. Without being able to have any kind of conversation with them, you're never going to change the way things are done in Sacramento.
Do you know anything about the state of Jefferson at all? Are you in favor of the state split at all?
I do see the idea behind it. I haven't dug into it enough to understand how it's actually physically and financially be viable.
Yeah. I think it's something that is going to have to be considered the way things are going. I mean, we've got Gavin Gruesome Newsom, I like to call him. he's down there right now. They just passed a health care bill that says they're going to mandate the penalty on California. They are out of control down in Sacramento to the point of, I mean, I'm not sure I could be reaching across the aisle with any of these people. And again, I'm not a politician, obviously, but I have a hard time with any of their left-wing. It's to the point of, they're communists down there. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we're past socialism, and democratic socialism is no, there's no such thing. But we're getting way into Marxism here down there in Sacramento. So, I guess we have a caller on the line.
We do have a caller on the line we need to get to. Matt, are you there this morning?
I am.
You got a question or a comment for our guest?
Well, I had two questions. One, I wanted to tell her I am a voter in Shasta County, and over 30,000 people signed support statements for the State of Jefferson movement. I want to know if she's going to actually do something for us, or is it going to be more of the same? Because the do-nothing Republican Party can just go away. If they're going to continue to do nothing until the totalitarians provoke armed conflict, then there's no point in voting for them. Because the policies coming out of Sacramento are specifically designed to drive us from our community and make us dependent on the government because you have to pay them for permission to exist. I'll take my answer off there.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Matthew. We appreciate that.
Go ahead, Megan.
Okay. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't hear a question.
Oh, you didn't hear the question? Oh, no.
No, I was totally dead silence.
Well, his question was, is basically, do you support the state of Jefferson in light of the fact that, down there, I mean, are you going to introduce legislation? What are you going to do for the state of Jefferson to get on board with that? I mean, because basically everybody up here is sick of the politicians down in Sacramento ruining our lives, and they're not doing anything for us, and the do-nothing GOP hasn't been there for anybody. So, I mean, I'm sort of paraphrasing here, and I don't know if I got the gist of it.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah, that was pretty much the question.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to run the legislation. I don't know enough about it to be a member right in the door to run legislation for that. I believe that you need to be down there, and conversations do work. I know that it's frustrating. I understand this absolutely. Straws being banned is ridiculous. It is not a priority in our state right now at all. So, but if you're not there and you're not constantly saying this is how it is where we live, this is what we do, it's a super minority. And I do know that the GOP has been working hard because I've been intricately involved in that. But the pendulum right now is very liberal in California. So if you look at the voting record, though, people don't vote. Bottom line, you can look at these districts, super liberal districts, they don't vote. The turnout is incredibly low. And when you find out someone has won a seat with only 3,000 votes, it is very upsetting. So it's a statewide issue that people need to, not just our own North State, because we're conservative. We vote conservative. We turn out every time to vote, which is fabulous. We need to reach down further if we're going to change the state. We have to reach down into those pockets of people and actually get them to vote.
I think that's what the whole State of Jefferson movement is about, is representation, and the fact that we don't have it anymore in light of the court decisions back in the day that have basically stripped us of the local representatives in each county. So I don't know if anything can be done to fix the fact that we're so out of balance with representatives. I mean, what, we got 6 up here in L.A., they got 100-something. I mean, it's to the point of stupidity on our representation issue. And I can't see any fix that's going to fix anything other than the State of Jefferson at this point, because, how are we going to ever outvote these counties that have the population? I mean,
when the state starts, the downturn will come, because look at history, it always does. And when the downturn comes, people with the good ideas, the conservative ideas, are the ones ready and waiting, going, you're going to have to cut these things. You're going to have to audit these programs like the DMV and other places where we're completely wasting millions of dollars. And they're going to have to do it, because eventually the downturn will come. It will come. I always tell people, Trump is president. Did we ever think that was possible? When he became president. I mean, I was in shock. And I'm watching as the commentators are saying, wait, she can still get there. Wait, as it completely unfolds in front of all of us. And I was in shock. I was gearing up to have Hillary Clinton as our president, which was just, made me nauseous as I'm sitting with our, 7-year-old daughter at the time. But to watch Trump win, there is still hope. There is still hope that when the downturn comes, that we're ready for that.
I would say with $1.2 trillion in unfunded pension liabilities, the downturn is here. It's just been particularly well hidden. The governor's pretending we have a budget deficit. But so I'm curious to know, what is your specific plan to deal with $1.2 trillion in CalPERS unfunded liability?
Well, the first thing, just like you said, they have to admit there's a problem. And while we're saying we have a surplus, we should be, just like you would in your business, you should be paying down that debt. If you have a good year, you pay off your debt. So all you can do is just keep bringing light to it, saying there is still this debt out there that we need to take care of. We need to take care of it, because we need to take care of those people that we promised. They went in good faith, took a job, thought they were going to get their pensions in the end. And what the worst thing would be is when they're 82 years old to find out that it's really not there.
Well, it's really not there. Yeah. I mean, because...
But they haven't started cutting their checks yet. They haven't said, okay, now we're only going to give you 50% of what you were promised.
Well, they did they did that in Loyalton.
They have.
Yeah, and I think that was the precedent.
And Stockton, too.
Yeah, no. And it's and there's other cities down in L.A., and it's starting to happen. It's slowly happening, and yes, it's been, not talked about, obviously, because
Because the legislature did it to us when they got us on the hook to make up to 7% any shortfall CalPERS has. So it's got to be the legislature that gets us out of this trouble. We can't just wait until everybody figures it out, because the governor knows it. He just lies about it. So in other words, we can't just whistle a happy tune and say, well, when people stop whistling the happy tune, then it'll start to change. You guys are in there. You're supposed to do something. I'm just curious if anybody has a plan to do that.
And with that,
I don't have a.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
With that, we do have a caller on the line. We have got Roberta. Roberta, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, going to have to turn down your radio, sweetheart.
It's off.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. You got a question?
Yes. Well, I have grandchildren in the Sacramento area who are publicly educated, and I have grandchildren in Southern California who are homeschool educated. And
just so you know, I can't,
it's incredible to me how far ahead those homeschool kids are to the public school kids. And even the subject matter is incredibly different. And I'm wondering what she thinks of homeschooling, and if it's positive, will she be a voice for homeschoolers?
Let me ask that. Let me get that to her.
We're going to have to ask
Megan
that.
Can't hear you, Roberta. Okay. So
I can't hear you.
Yeah, let me rephrase the question to Megan so she can get it. I wanted to get that last little bit. So you don't really have a specific plan on the pensions?
No, it's very, very complicated.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep raising it up, saying, I know there's a problem. I know there's an issue. We need to start talking about this. We need to get it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we got that on there.
Yes.
What Roberta's asking about is homeschooling. Now, she's got kids in Sacramento who are in public school, and her kids are in, grandkids, I guess, down in the Bay or LA area. And they're in homeschooling, and the ones that are being homeschooled evidently are outperforming the ones that are being public schooled.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to know if you're in favor of homeschooling.
Yes, I am. I'm in favor of parental choice on your schooling options.
What about vaccines?
Yeah, what about vaccines?
How are you feeling about that?
I'm
going to hang up because I can't hear her.
Our
kids
are vaccinated.
Okay.
But when we... our physician, who happens to be a cousin of ours, I sat down with him. There's a waiver that you can sign. They haven't had the chickenpox vaccination, for instance. They have not been vaccinated for chickenpox. And when the boys were younger, there was just a waiver form that you could sign. You sat down with your physician. They counseled you. You made a decision together. They, you know, signed and said, okay, we're not going to do the chickenpox, and you could take that to school, and that was enough. Now that's not, you know, I'm in favor of being able to go to your physician, have a conversation, and them help you decide what the best thing to do is.
Well,
I'm not against vaccines. I'm just against the fact that they're taking away the right of the parent to talk to your physician and make a decision from there.
Yeah, how
because
do you
some,
feel about the Department of Health being in charge of making that decision?
Evidently, they're going to stop the exemptions on the vaccines,
yes,
is what I'm hearing.
Yes, I know. I know that, yes.
Unless the Department of Health is the one that decides which way either you can or you cannot.
And I am for parental choice. I am for parental choice.
All right.
I'm a parent, and I've actually been through it one time with the boys when I could because there's a 10-year gap for our daughter, and I was surprised to learn that when I went to go take, you know, for her to be enrolled in school, that then there was another form to be filled out, and I didn't even know that there was, that this was happening behind the scenes.
Okay, I guess we need to go to a break.
We do need to go to a break. Can you hang on with us for a little bit longer, Megan?
How much longer? Because I do have another event to attend.
5-10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The Cascade Theater presents four free films and a whole lot of fun this July with the Kids Summer Movie Club. Every Sunday afternoon in July, the theater opens the door at 2 with completely free admission for everybody. Turtle Bay will be there to show off some animals and hand out prizes. There's activities and then the film at 3, featuring Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Cars, and Brave. Four films, four Sundays in July. Sponsored by JPR, KIXE, First 5 Shasta, and Turtle Bay. See you there.
Haven Humane Society will be holding our annual Pup for Paws Golf Tournament on July 12th at the beautiful Riverview Golf and Country Club. This fabulous four-person scramble will tee off at 9 a.m. There will be an awards lunch, raffles, prizes, and so much more. Sign up your four-man team today for only $400, or single players are only $100, with all proceeds going to help the animals at Haven Humane Society. We will see you on the green.
The McConnell Foundation is pleased to sponsor this year's Colt 45 season. We support hometown baseball in South City Park, part of the heart of Reading. Families, local businesses, and nonprofits make this community event successful. The McConnell Foundation believes the best way to build community is to support it together. Baseball is for everyone, from little leaguers to senior games. Thank you for rooting for our home team. Go Colt 45s!
Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. We're back, and we're with Megan Dolly, and we're talking about District 1 and all the stuff that's going on here. And then, well, I'll tell you, is this not crazy? Is this not the craziest time in the history of the world? I mean, it's just unbelievable when I think about we got the internet, we got, you know, what's going on in the country, the world, all the technology in conjunction with the fact that, you know, people are buying into this democratic social contract of garbage that is going to save the world, except that it
doesn't work.
Except that the world's burning and it's on fire because of it, you know.
And we're dying. And with that, we've got a caller on the line. We've got Dar. Good morning, Dar.
Dar, you're on the air, Dar. Oh, okay. Well, I guess.
Dar?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Now we can. What's up, Dar? You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Well, I guess we have to tell her to call back or something because
I'm
not working.
Sure what's going on with the phones this morning, but we're working at it.
Yeah.
And Ashley's really trying in there to make it happen. So
yeah, what a crazy. Well, just like I said, it's crazy.
It just gets crazier by the minute, doesn't
I guess,
it?
Yeah.
You know? It's never easy. Oh, we do have. Oh no, nope.
Okay.
She's gone. So with that, I do believe Mark that you had a question that you wanted to present.
Now there's two Marks in here, just so you know.
This is Mark B.
This is Mark B. I'm Mark K. I'm the host. I'm the guy over here that's
Well, you can tell the voices are different.
Yes.
Well, if you ask for the hair lip dog, you'll get one of the Mark. Mark.
I haven't heard that one for at least a week.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
I want to ask one question. This is a tough one, and this is the elephant in the room to me. When I sit around and I think about a husband and wife team in total control of District 1, I get the shivers. That seems to me like nepotism And I just had a huge, huge, huge problem with it. No matter, and you sound like a nice woman and knowledgeable and educated, and it isn't, doesn't have anything to do with that. But when I think about a husband and wife team in total control of District 1, I just get nervous. And so I'd like to ask you about that. And I'd also like to ask you about qualifications, because you're a business owner, so am I, so are millions of people in California. We have employees, so do you, so do we. We know what business owners do. We all do it. So if your name was Megan Smith and you lived on 14th Street in Red Bluff or wherever, and then you gave exactly the same reasons to want to be in the assembly as you have already given, why would you expect people to jump on that bandwagon as opposed to other candidates who perhaps have political credentials or more resume or whatever? I'm just, in other words, what sets you apart from the crowd? Because in theory, the fact that your husband is a former assemblyman shouldn't be one of those criteria.
Well, and specifically in the district, I was born and raised here, so I do know the whole district, which I think is a huge asset to somebody down into Nevada County, all the way up into Siskiyou. Farmers, ranchers, also in my family, not just being married to one. So school board experience, being able to balance the budget, dealing with unions, negotiating with teachers' unions on those things. And I think that everyone who runs for office puts their name in the hat because they're passionate about something. They're very passionate about, so I'm passionate about this district. I'm passionate about the rural health care, education, wildfire, what's coming at ag all the time, every day. Ag overtime was a huge thing for us. So there's something that it's for, I think when people start to run for office, something's been flipped inside of them that says, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to tell my story. I'm going to talk to people, and this just happens to be a special election, so it's very quick, so I'm not going to be able to get in front of every single group and talk to them and tell them my story and get to meet them, so thankfully for social media and other avenues, you can get your name out there and what you're about. Nepotism would mean that Brian gave me something. The only thing he's giving me was his last name, which I'm incredibly proud to have, but everything else we've built together over 20 years. And an election will be a determining factor over whether somebody thinks it's a gift or not to me, which it won't be. I'm going to work very hard for those votes. And I think then we'll know for sure how the district feels about a husband and wife team, which is exactly what we are. We are a partnership. We'll be incredibly effective in Sacramento for everyone, because you can't, if you have a bill in the assembly and it gets to the Senate, it gets hung up on that side. You worked really hard to get it through committee and it dies in the Senate, vice versa. Get it through committee, get it out of your house, get it over the assembly, and it dies. That happens every day down there, and we will have each other to be able to build off of.
Okay, fair answer, and the voters will decide.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Will that? I mean, are you opposed to introducing legislation on a state split? You know, after I know you say you haven't really examined it, but this state of Jefferson thing's been going on for quite a while, and I would assume that you have, you know, looked at the issues for some reason. I mean, you know, why have you not looked at the issues, and do you plan to look at the issues?
I can look at them, but I do know how it works there, and I want to be able to work on a lot of things, and so I would be happy to sit down and listen and show me the plan, not in front in a forum in front of people. I would rather sit down individually with somebody who has been going through this whole process, and I'd like to listen to it, and I could honestly tell you at that moment whether it was going to work or not.
Well, it is a constitutional split. I mean, it's based on the Constitution,
yes.
Article 4, Section
right.
3, I believe it is. And so,
and there was an opportunity to split it correct in 1942, and they didn't take it.
Yeah, but they didn't follow any of the correct procedures, I think, and also World War II started.
Yeah, they missed it by one day.
Right, so they probably did it.
But they weren't in the legislative process at all, so it wasn't really fair. But it has been done four times in our history, and it has been done successfully four times in our history. So, and I think that when the governor of California stands there and says, open the southern border, we want to be the abortion tourism capital of the world, we want to give free health care to all illegal aliens, we want to take away Second Amendment rights, I don't think any amount of reaching across the aisle is going to correct the disease that affects Sacramento. I think the only thing, the only viable alternative is to get away from them. And let's face it, in April 18th or 19th, 1775, they did it.
Yeah. Well, with that said, I kind of want to get another question in here just because I know we're just about out of time, Megan. And the question is, would you be willing to do a debate on air with the other two candidates?
I'd have to check my schedule and see. And I would make, you know, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because we know that that Patrick's willing to do that. We've already asked him, and then you know we wanted to ask you, and then but we haven't asked the other candidate.
Well, Joe Turner will be on at 11.
Yeah,
a little
no,
after
we'll
11,
ask him.
And we'll ask him.
So we're trying to be fair here, all the way around, if we can. And you know, if that's the case and everybody agrees to it, then maybe we can get we'll get in contact with you and we can set it up.
Yeah. And with that, before you go, can you let people know how to get a hold of you and all your information?
Your website.
Yes,
so
they can go to votemegandaly.com to read more about me. And also you can follow me on social media, Facebook and Instagram. You can also join my team so you can get updates. If you go to the website, you can hit join my team, give me your email. You'll still have to get the blast of everywhere I am, what I'm doing, and any if other information that you'd like to know.
Very
right.
good.
Well,
hey.
We want to say thank you for coming on, and we hope to have you back in the future. And maybe we can put this debate together on the radio for everybody involved.
And we want to give you kudos because we really are happy that you came on and took some of the fire and the heat, because this is not the easiest forum in the world to get on and answer questions. That's for sure. It's not softball here. So we want to you know make sure that you understand that we really appreciate what you've done.
And if I'm elected, it'll be lots of fire and heat in Sacramento. I know that. So.
Very good.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, thanks again.
Right.
We appreciate that, and sorry, Dar, that we weren't able to get to your call. But is she still on the line, Ashley? Can we bring her up and before we go to a break? Dar?
Yes.
We had to let Megan go, but I'm not sure if you had a question or a comment that you're calling in about.
Well, I would still like to make a comment.
Sure.
Sure, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
You're on the air.
I wanted to ask her about Proposition 13, and I also wanted to ask her about what she feels about the sanctuary cities, and also the cleanup of our forests. I had a company from back in North Dakota, and I took them out to Brandy Creek, and what a mess. They haven't even started cleaning up out there. And also, I want to know about when they're going to start the loggers, letting the loggers go in and start logging again. It seems to me that all they're doing is talking about fighting the fires, not cleaning up the mess so that we won't have any more fires.
Hey, I can probably answer part of that. I had a conversation with a U.S. Forest Service official. I'm not going to name the guy, and I'm not going to tell you where it was or what it was regarding because I don't want to get this guy in trouble. He was just being honest. Here's what's going to happen. By the time those logs are worthless, then at some point after that, they will be allowed to harvest a very minor percentage of them. And by the way, when they could have harvested them, they could have had someone pay us for the logs, us being the people, the taxpayers. But by the time they harvest that minuscule percentage they'll be allowed to harvest, those logs will be worthless, and the government will have to pay someone to come in and take them out and take the fuel out of there. And as far as the rest of that goes, it is such a log jam of environmental lawsuits and a confusing morass of ununderstandable and unimaginable regulatory processes that no one can get in and do the work that needs to be done in a hurry. There are a couple of counties who have slightly cracked the code because they have found out ways to do emergency logging around viable roads within a certain distance of viable roads for search and rescue purposes. And what they're trying to do is call a deer trail a road so that they can get in there and get more of that dead wood out. But the whole program is an utter and abject failure and is doing nothing to mitigate wildfire.
No, that doesn't surprise me at all. It's the same California. And you're right, it's a communist. You said it. I was so happy when you said it. We have a communist government here. We have no rights anymore.
I think that was the Mark half of Mark and Mark.
What?
Yeah, that was me.
Well, it is, you know, and you say that to somebody, and they look at you like, because that's what I say.
Because they don't know what communism is. They don't even know what Marxism is about. I mean, I've watched some of these liberal interviews on YouTube and so forth with different people, and they don't have a clue what it is. They don't even know what Marxism is and why is it bad. You know, they think that government handing you stuff is somehow making you a better person or better off, when the real deal is you're getting dependent on it, and pretty soon you don't have any rights.
Well, the thing is, we are so close to a communist government already. The Democrat Party is a communist party, as far as I'm concerned, and the people who are running for president are Bernie Sanders is a pure communist. Kamala Harris, she shouldn't even be there. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. Anyway, but thank you. I'm a State of Jefferson supporter. It can't come soon enough, and thank you.
Thanks, all right. Sarah. Thanks for calling in. I'm glad we finally were able to hear you, and you can hear us. And with that, we need to go to a break. If you want to call in, have a question or a comment, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM, your talk radio show.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans, covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know, nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
SSD Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SSD Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Good things come to those who wait. At Jersey Mike's, they also come to those who don't. Download our app, order ahead, and skip the line. Cut to the Chase by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Looking for a team building exercise? Order Jersey Mike's delivery from Uber Eats. Then share. Collaboration by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
You really should accept. This time he's gone for good. He'll never come back now, even though he said he would. So darling, dry your eyes. So many other guys would give the world, I'm sure, to wear the shoes he wore. Oh, come on.
Smile a little smile for me, Rosemary. In a little while you'll see.
sure what was going on with that music this morning.
I was feeling so warm and cozy. There.
I haven't heard that one for a while, and I just had coffee, and it was like 5 in the morning.
I was hoping for the captain and Tennille.
Yeah, Squirrel Love or whatever.
Yeah, Squirrel Love. That's right, yeah.
We're not going to ask why you know those so well, but there you go.
Rodent Love, I think, was the name of that.
It's a good thing radio has no TV screen.
Yeah.
That's, you heard the expression, you got a face for radio.
Yeah.
I believe it's Muskrat Love.
Yeah. I knew it was some kind of rodent.
Very good, Ashley. Hey, they were all around
it. It's bad when you even know who sang it, Captain Denise.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how you guys know this.
So obviously you slow danced to that at least once or twice.
Hey, man. I was a king of slow dance there for about half a grade.
All right. We do have a caller on the line. We've got Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning to both of you. Hey, a good question I have to ask is that rally down in Sacramento, is anybody bunching up and trying to get a bunch of charter buses for people up here to go down there for that thing?
Are you talking about the Second Amendment hearing?
Yeah, September 6th.
Okay. Yeah, September 6th, 10 o'clock, courtroom number 3, Sacramento. I have not heard any direct discussions about getting buses together, but here's the problem with that. You got to have 50 people that'll pay $50 each in order to get the bus, and that's cheaper than you can drive. But people have to organize the buses, and there have to be enough people that have paid ahead of time so you can pay the bus drivers. But I think it's certainly possible to do, absolutely, and we can carpool. Well, we can do all kinds of things. Because here's the thing.
Well, I think we've got enough time to do it, so we should probably put our heads together and put up a sign.
So at your next Patriot meeting, bring that up and see if you can get 3 or 4 buses. Because here's the deal. We proved it in Salem. If people show up, if we fill that courtroom out the door, down the steps, into the street and around the corner, there is pressure that's put on political officials. We could take this state back in 5 minutes if Christians, conservatives, and gun owners would stand up and just vote one time. This would be a conservative state again. So, you know, it is the lack of showing up that cost us, because we have the power. We've always had it. All we got to do is start using it again.
Good enough. Hey, real quick, that doll lady.
Yeah.
She's toast. Unbelievable. I'm out.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there's viable candidates instead of her. There is a choice.
Go Jones.
Well, with that, I think we'll move on.
We just have to put it out there for everybody.
We got 3 minutes to the top of the hour. Yeah. So. No, we're trying to be fair with
everybody.
Yeah,
we have to be, and you know, she came on and said her piece. So it's up to the individual to figure out who they want to vote for and what's going on and be part of it.
So I guess we're going to have to, we're having Joe Turner in the next hour.
Yeah, we are.
And he's also running. So we got Patrick Jones, Megan Dolly, and Joe Turner running for, and I'll tell you what, this is like a,
Democrat.
Speed election.
Yeah.
There is a Democrat?
Yeah, but I'm not sure the name. I want to say Bucord or something. So if somebody really knows for sure what it is and maybe how I can get a hold of her, I will most definitely do that and see if she'll come on the show. But, yeah.
And we got to get enough people out there in this election involved. I mean, you know, other than the illegal aliens that are coming in to vote via the DMV and, you know, getting, you know, health insurance. That's another one, that whole health insurance. And it would Gavin Newsom voted for the mandate. It's like, are you kidding me? We can't even afford health insurance now. Now we're going to pay for somebody else's health insurance that isn't even legally here.
Do you have to get real ID to get health insurance now?
No. You just show up speak a few lines of Spanish, and then they want to elect you.
If I got a cheap flight to Mexico, could I sneak across the border and get free insurance? Because I don't have a real ID anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to have an accent, man. All of a sudden,
I just don't talk.
I'm from Tijuana, you know.
I know nothing.
And, you know, I need health care because I'm poor. And, you know, it is, this is the New World Order, you know what I'm saying?
I want free college, too.
I want free everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, all right.
I want, in fact,
check Southwest for flights.
I want a free yacht. I want.
They're gonna cut you off. Please stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR, 1460 AM.
Did you just shut up and go back to work?
I don't have to.
Chinese lunch.
Any whirl, any twirl, any tango, singing and jangin' a jangle, floating like the heavens above, looks like Muskrat Love.
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Donald Trump goes where no U.S. president has ever gone before, stepping briefly on the North Korean side of the border at the demilitarized zone this morning, all at the behest of leader Kim Jong-un.
It's just an honor to be with you, and it was an honor that you asked me to step over that line, and I was proud to step over the line. I thought you might do that. I wasn't sure, but I was ready to do it, and I want to thank you. It's been great. It's been great. Very historic. They were just saying, one of the folks from the media was saying, this could be a very historic moment, and I guess that's what it is, but I enjoy being with you, and thank you very much.
The president on his way home at this hour. With a September 1st deadline set by the U.S., the Taliban says the latest round of peace talks is critical. Both sides trying to hammer out the fine print of an agreement that will see the eventual withdrawal of over 20,000 U.S. and NATO troops from Afghanistan and end America's longest-running war. A major carrier ends service to Washington, D.C.
JetBlue Airways is ending its twice-daily nonstop service between Charleston and the nation's capital as of October 26th. JetBlue launched twice-weekly service in 2014 to D.C. a year after touching down in Charleston with initial flights to New York and Boston. American Airlines flies nonstop four times a day between Charleston and Reagan National, while United Airlines offers four daily uninterrupted flights to Washington Dulles. JetBlue will continue flying from Charleston to Boston, Fort Lauderdale, and Kennedy International in New York. Ron DeRockster reporting.
A rule allowing medical workers to decline performing abortions on moral or religious grounds is on hold by mutual agreement pending a legal challenge. The conscience rule is being challenged in a California court. A judge approved the four-month delay of the rule. It was supposed to take effect July 22. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details. Need cash now? Seems like the more you need something, the harder it is to get, especially when you need it fast. Have you been turned down for a personal loan? Are your credit cards maxed out? Do you have bad credit? One of the nation's largest personal loan networks, GetCash.com, is the place to go when you need money fast. All you need is a checking account and a regular source of income, and you could get up to $5,000 discreetly with your computer or smartphone in as little as 24 hours. There's no paperwork needed to get connected. At GetCash.com, our lenders have lent hundreds of millions of dollars to people just like you. And now, you could get up to $5,000 deposited in your account as soon as tomorrow, regardless of your credit history. Get the cash you need fast at GetCash.com. That's GetCash.com. GetCash.com.
Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee is using the 4th of July this year to remind Americans about the importance of free speech.
America's founders may have taught us that
true liberty could not thrive in the grasp of tyranny.
And yet Blackburn laments that many college campuses tried to ban conservative speech.
This proud hostility toward diversity of thought should serve as a reminder that questions of freedom rarely remained settled.
Blackburn proposed a bill earlier this month to ensure protection of free speech on campus. Bob Agnew reporting.
People are raising money for two Mississippi Blues Trail markers to commemorate the 1977 plane crash that killed three members of the rock band Lynyrd Skynyrd, their road manager, and two pilots. The markers, one will be near the crash site in Gillsburg, the other at Southwest Mississippi Regional Medical Center. Skynyrd was founded in Florida and known for such hits as Sweet Home Alabama. News and analysis at townhall.com. It's tough to decide when to start taking Social Security benefits, and it appears many people are shorting themselves with that choice.
New study finds that just 4% of retirees start claiming Social Security benefits at the most financially optimal time, and current retirees collectively will lose $3.4 trillion in potential income. That's according to research from United Income. Americans typically can start claiming Social Security benefits as early as the age of 62, but the size of the monthly benefit grows each year they wait, maxing out at 70. Rich Thomason reporting.
Today is Sunday, June the 30th, and it's a birthday for some famous people, including actor-comedian David Alan Greer. He's 63 years old today. Former heavyweight boxing champion Mike Tyson is 53. Olympic gold medal swimmer Michael Phelps turns 34. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
No afternoon yet. Well, it's afternoon somewhere.
Yes, somewhere. Beer 30. Welcome to the second hour of Sovereign Mind Radio. And, you know, we just had Megan Dolly with us for 45 minutes, and she's running for District 1. And we also have with us in the next hour Joe Turner, who is also running for the same slot in District 1, the California State Assembly. And
we actually have him on the line.
And he is on the line. And I'd like to welcome you, Mr. Turner, Joseph, Joe, if you don't mind. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you very much, guys. Joe's fine. Shortly about me, I'm a disabled combat veteran after spending 17 years enlisted. I'm a huge supporter of our Constitution, our union, big advocate of representation. I do support the State of Jefferson movement, although that's not all I can do. And I'm a staunch advocate of keeping government out of our lives. And I completely understand how the Constitution actually prevents government from interfering in our rights. It doesn't give us permission to do anything. And I'm honestly really, really concerned about the new education curriculum that's being pushed through by California, and I promised my wife I would do everything I can to protect our daughter from having to be subject to that, and other children as well.
Well, I mean, are you of the mind of the reaching across the aisle strategy?
Well, you have to have common goals to be able to reach across the aisle. It depends on what you're trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish. If their goal is to violate our rights, how can you reach across the aisle on it?
Yeah, that's I mean, I'm in agreement with you on that. I mean, I think that if I was running for this position, I would be thinking that I would use it as a bully pulpit to scream from the tops of the roofs how these guys are out of control and so forth. Maybe I'm just a radical kind of a libertarian sort of conservative, but it seems to me that reaching across the aisle hasn't really worked.
It hasn't. It not only hasn't worked. It's boxed us into this false sense of decorum that this is the only way that we can get anything done because we're constantly told by the radical left that we have to compromise, yet they never compromise. Even when they're in the minority, we have to compromise. And it's a great strategy for them, and they're very good at it. And we are very good at falling for it.
Well, it kind of reminds me, I think it was Stalin or somebody in the Marxist, somebody said two steps forward and one step back is their game plan, and that's what they've been doing. I mean, you know, they take two steps forward and then, you know, that's radical, and then they step back from it so that everybody calms down, and then they take two steps more forward.
Oh, exactly. And there are things I would like to accomplish that I believe that the Democrat supermajority would actually support if it was brought to their attention. As I was a member of the California Army National Guard for 17 years. And California doesn't really provide any California benefits for our guardsmen, whereas Nevada, you just go right across the border, they waive the tuition for all of their Army and Air Guardsmen.
Wow. What's you know, if someone asked you the question of what's the big difference between you and the other candidates, Megan and Patrick Jones, Megan Dolly and Patrick Jones, what would you say was the biggest difference? What makes you stand out from them?
What makes you stand out is I'm going to go and use every single tool I have available as an elected representative. I'm going to use the legislative inquiry process to investigate and force transparency. I'm going to reach out and look for whistleblowers to be able to do that, to help them with their causes, to protect them when they've been harmed by the state. I'm going to submit legislation that I know will fail so I could join as party to be a plaintiff on various lawsuits to try to bolster those lawsuits in federal court.
That's interesting. What about fire prevention and fire suppression? Where are you at on that?
I have to support it. I'm outside. I'm at home right now, and I live in a forest. I'm surrounded by beautiful trees everywhere, and if a fire comes through, my property is destroyed. Wow. And we need abatement. We need to clear the forest of all of the dead undergrowth. We need to allow the surviving trees to have all the nutrients and all of the access to the water, so that way they can become huge, strong, healthy trees, and then that way they can withstand the fires, the recurring fire cycle that will happen after the fact. Our forebears kind of wrecked up the forest by cutting down all the old growth and didn't manage it very well, but we have to be able to get it back to an old growth type state before it can actually survive the cyclical burn cycles.
Right, so the undergrowth burns instead of the trees.
Well, that and it's free power. I mean, well, not free, but someone has to go out there and get it and collect it, but then you can take it to a cogeneration plant and you can burn it and create power, and you can also sell the timber and harvest it and get tax receipts and increase economic activity, which they don't want to do. But how can any one of us actually make that happen in the seat? It's not possible when you're on an island.
Right.
I wanted to ask you about education. You said you wanted to be involved in education. What kind of problems, or what do you foresee in changing, or is a problem with our education system? We all know there's lots of problems, but what are your main issues with that?
My main concern about education is the early introduction of foreign concepts to children, like the whole gender identity craze. If you actually look at the Health and Human Services website, they have an article all about the introduction of suicide prevention training and how suicide actually increases in our youth. It's because it's a foreign concept to them. They don't understand it. They're not mentally prepared yet. So to try to force them into being prepared earlier, all it is indoctrination, and it's something that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
In that regard, I fully support education anywhere you can get it. I don't enjoy the sycophantic obsession over our government schools, but I also don't understand our teacher shortages, when if you're a government employee, they should be transferring teachers to rural areas and saying, if you want to be here, you're going to go work there for a couple of years, and then you can transfer home.
Well, I'll tell you, that would be a good idea, I think, because you might get these guys that are these liberal teachers and this teachers union get out there to see the other side of the coin. I know I've got an experience with one of my clients who was, from San Francisco and just an off-the-charts liberal until she moved up to a little town called Sawyer's Bar up on the Salmon River. And let me tell you, living up there for about 5 years, she's completely changed her tune.
How do you feel about homeschooling?
I if you can do it, go for it. I love education. I don't discriminate on where you get it. It as long as you can do your 1, 2, 3s and your ABCs, I don't see why it matters.
Yeah, there's a difference between
the piece of paper.
There's a difference between education and indoctrination. Yeah. I mean, if you go back to Lincoln, you know, he got his education by the fire and from reading books that, you know, and so forth. But, you know, what now what we're talking about in the education of California and a lot of states is not education. It's indoctrination. They got books out that promote, you know, the alternative lifestyle. And there's two, you know, female bunnies that are together on, I was looking at a couple of them the other day. It's just outrageous that, yeah, you know, they're trying to normalize that type of behavior.
Yeah, I agree. It's absolutely ridiculous. And one of my other concerns is, did you know that the military actually gets preferential recruitment out of government-funded schools?
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
When a teenager goes to enlist into the military, if they live in a charter school, if they attend a public school, they're on a higher tier level.
Really?
So they have yes, and as long as they meet the ASVAB requirements, they have open access to the job.
So it's kind of like affirmative action for government schools.
It is, and if you are homeschooled or chartered schools, they usually perform higher on the ASVAB. But unless there's availability for those different tiers of schools, some of those kids have a harder time enlisting in the military.
Wow, wow. I had no idea.
Can you hold over? We need to go to a break. Can you stay with us, Joe?
Absolutely.
All right. If you want to call in, I have a question for or comment for Joe. Give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM.
Don't pull your love. You know you'll break my heart when I want you close.
Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships with its clients.
Rick Hill and Rory Greek, financial advisors of Morgan Stanley's Reading office, know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everyone has different goals, from planning for retirement to saving for a child's education.
Rick and Rory, with the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can create personal investment strategies to help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. So call Rick or Rory at 223-4200. That's 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC. IPC.
She's gone.
North State, your talk radio, 1460 AM, and right now...
Now, no, 96.5.
There is no
they
FM.
They are working on it, yeah, so...
Well, hopefully they'll get that fixed.
Before we go past education, I wanted to ask Joe about vaccines, how he felt about the vaccines with the children, having to have them to enter school.
I think it's a touchy subject because I believe in vaccine technology, but I also don't trust manufacturers since the Vaccine Trust Fund protects them from liabilities. And I've personally dealt with a vaccine side effect. It's relatively minor, but it's been definitely a nuisance for 14 years now from when I received the live cowpox virus for when I deployed to Egypt, because that's the cowpox is the smallpox virus. So I know that there are legitimate reactions and things happen. I don't trust manufacturers at all because there's always cutting corners. They're adulterating products, trying to increase their bottom line, force us to take things. And the mandation of consumption of anything is fascistic and communistic, however you want to describe it. And the proper thing that has helped the conditions around the world has been proper sanitation, far more than anything.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're forcing these vaccines. I mean, I remember when I went to the service, I mean, you got hit with everything under the sun. And I think that what it is that some people react differently than others, you know. I mean, some people have an autism problem and some people don't, or a reaction or whatever. And the fact that, you know, anymore what they're putting in this in these vaccines seems like they're just completely out of control. I mean, they got mercury and they got stem cells from, you know, babies. It's just unbelievable. And then for them to force us to take them,
to mandate them,
just like you say, it's just off the charts. They're out of control.
Well, and not just that. If you look at it this way, foreign objects going into a growing animal or human, it's not healthy. The Mother Nature knows best. The breast milk is better than formula. There's a lot of sick kids in Africa who got onto this formula's better kick, and it was terrible for them. So Mother Nature knows best. Allow the kids to develop their immune system if the parents want to do that. Just let them grow and develop and keep your conditions clean to keep your kids healthy, keep them fed well with proper nutrition, and then they'll be far more better to receive those vaccines without such reactions. It's a risk management thing for me.
Well, and again, it should be something between you and your doctor, not you and
the government
and the government mandating stuff. So it's what a crazy deal.
Well, the only thing that you're free to choose is an abortion. You can't choose to own your firearms. You can't choose to not vaccinate if you don't want to. You can't choose not to be forced into purchasing health care in California now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's
they
all
just
sorts
passed
of things
that.
That you can't choose.
Yeah, well, now they've passed the penalty that Trump rescinded in California. I don't have the exact numbers on it yet. I think it's like $675 a year if you don't get your health insurance now. And, you know, of course, we let all the illegal aliens come in here and get free health insurance. So, I mean, these people down in Sacramento are out of touch with anything other than power, it seems to me.
They are obsessed with power. And I'm going to actually steal something from my opponent, what she said on the previous show down at KCNR.
Yeah.
And except in regards to Jefferson, as far as reaching across the aisle, I support it in theory, but I'm a realist. Reaching across the aisle only does so much good. There's only so much you can get done with people who are antithetically opposed to liberty and you running your own lives. They think that they know how to run our lives better than we do. And we have to get the union involved at every level possible, with our federal representatives, with the federal courts, to try to correct California from trespassing outside of the bounds of the Constitution.
Well, let me ask you this, with that said about the unions and so forth, you know, we've got a huge pension problem coming up. We're kind of starting into it now. I think that it's going to be just an absolute debacle when it all comes to light, to the general public. Of this pension and the unfunded liabilities, and there needs to be some pension reform. Do you have any specific plans for that at all?
Honestly, I don't have any specific plans for pension reform because they're not going to reform. I could come up with all these great ideas. I wouldn't have a legal argument to make in court as far as suing to say, this is how we need to change it. CalPERS divested out of gun manufacturing is just a virtue signal, which helped plummet one of the reasons why they're in the why we're in this problem that we're in. So,
well, they've got their investment. They've got their investment strategy based on climate warming, you know, global warming. And I mean, I've looked at their portfolio. It's like, good grief, an idiot wouldn't put this together. You know, I mean, Iranian oil wells. Come on, I mean, that's where they're at. So, I think they're way underfunded, even more than they're letting on. They've been selling off assets. So there is a big problem coming down the pipe. And I guess it's going to have to crash and burn before anything gets done, huh?
Unfortunately, that's the only route I see that it's going to have to take. It's going to have to crash and burn, and people are going to have to realize we've been lied to.
Oh, we don't have a surplus down in Sacramento?
Oh, yeah, there is a surplus. And why should any government ever have a surplus and still be increasing taxes on its people?
that's
a five-letter word of theft to me.
There's a surplus all right down there, and it's... there's a surplus of Marxist Democrats, if you ask me. So with that said, too, you know, what about water issues? Have you got any specific plans as far as the water, I mean, that we're being drained of? And we know we've got the Feather River and the Orville Dam over there. I guess they're just going to let it implode again. I don't know. I mean, from what I've heard, I don't know that that's being fixed adequately to stop it from doing it again.
It's not being fixed adequately, and they don't—they want to rip out the dams. Like, there's an illegal agreement between California and Oregon to rip out the Klamath Dam. So these types of issues are why we have to get the union involved. And I don't like federal overreach, but in situations like this, it would be appropriate to go to the federal government to prevent California from abusing its citizens and restricting us on our water resources. We have so much water up here, we just have to store it and not dump it or waste it on fires when we could be preventing the fires. We need to build more reservoirs. We need to make sure that California can go through 7 years of drought with our reserves. There's no reason we can't plan for it. I mean, they have the, I can't remember the name of that thing, the aqueduct that goes all the way down. They built a concrete riverbed, so there's no reason why we can't build infrastructure. They don't have the will because they want to isolate us into the cities, keep us out of the rural areas, and ration us in control. Everything's about rationing and redistribution.
That sounds a little bit like Agenda 21 on communist fuel.
I think that Agenda 21 has always been riding on communist fuel.
I gotta agree.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be when you said Agenda 21, oh, you were branded some kind of a, you know, a weirdo. And,
yeah, some yes, nut.
Yeah,
nobody
some
would
nut
believe
job,
that
yeah.
anything was going on. No, that's never going to happen.
Yeah. Well, it's just like it's just like, you know, years ago when you talked about the Fed and banking and everything, you were just branded some kind of a nut job as far as, but we're starting to see that we're having a world banking crisis that's coming even further and further into view. And, you know, despite the fact that we're being told that there's no inflation, I mean, has anybody been to the grocery store but me lately? I mean, it seems to me like we're having a little bit more than 2.6%.
Yeah, inflation's been going up incredible as far as the price of goods and everything. But that's actually not the inflation of the currency. That's the inflation of the markets because they're mandating the $15 an hour minimum wage in certain areas, and they're raising them in California.
Well, I think
San Francisco.
Go ahead.
San Francisco is, but yeah, when you increase the cost of the flow of money supply, it's going to drastically increase the cost of goods to keep pace with it because the inflation is going to set in. It's just like the student loan crisis. Tuition skyrocketed because money was easy.
Well, I think it's all the above. You know, when you talk about it, it's not just primarily necessarily the printing of money, but you know, when you raise the minimum wage, when you make it hard for the farmers to make a living, you know, when the food production starts to go down, you know, when the manufacturing is all exported to foreign countries, you know, all of this is going to have a huge effect.
That's me. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
That was me.
So we got to go. Go ahead and stay with us, Joe, and we'll get back and we'll get some more
again,
on your platform.
If you have a question or comment for Joe, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM.
truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin', like a dude-up man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin', home, 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 home.
Flashing my keys out on Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. Your typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings.
Dallas, got a salt machine.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Times have changed. And times are strange. Here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home. Time gone by seems to be. You could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media. We're on the phone here with candidate Joe Turner for California Assembly District 1. And the next subject that I'd like to bring up is Second Amendment issues in California. Good grief. I mean, as of July 1st, which is just a couple of days from now, you know, you must have, you got to get a background check to buy ammunition.
Yep.
You got to pass an eligibility check. Which is, you know, also known as a background check, and be 21 years of age or older to purchase handgun ammunition, 18 years of age or older to purchase rifle or shotgun ammunition. I think this could be the catalyst that really upsets the apple cart a little bit, because when people realize how far these guys have gone, maybe they're going to stand up and get somebody to actually show up to some of these Second Amendment protests. I know we've got one coming up in September with the Second Amendment lawsuit that's been filed.
Yeah, on September 6th.
September 6th down in Sacramento. What do you have to say about all of this stuff, Joe? You know, you're going to be running for assembly. What can you do about all this?
Well, it's a poll. It's nothing, no different than a poll tax. And Democrats have always been the party of restricting rights. Poll taxes, Jim Crow laws, everything. Segregation has always been Democrats, and they're doing it again. They just figured out how to change their message to pull the wool over the sheep's eyes. And what I feel about it, as I absolutely feel that we need to sue. The only answer is to sue and get the federal government involved. And it's appropriate because the Second Amendment clearly states the right of the people shall not be infringed. It doesn't say the right of the state. It doesn't say the right of the militia. It doesn't say the right of any other legal construct. It's the right of the people. It's not a permission slip. It's a prohibition on government. And if we want to really get into the weeds, it doesn't matter that California doesn't have a Second Amendment-type clause in its constitution because the incorporation of the Bill of Rights Act during Reconstruction. So if you take that jurisprudence approach, the Second Amendment applies to California regardless of what they say. And all of their restrictions are a violation of our rights, and we have to get our municipalities, we have to get our counties, we have to get our assemblymen and our senators and our congressional representatives who are still left, and we all have to join on as plaintiffs on these lawsuits. We have to represent our constituents, not just on a floor for some fake debate and some glad-handing session. We have to be thorough, and we have to be aggressive on this.
Well, you know, it seems to me that noncompliance, I mean, that's what it's coming to, is anybody going to obey these laws? I mean, obviously there could be some stiff penalties. I mean, if you go out of state and buy some ammunition, it's a felony. But, you know, I mean, and bring it into the, you know, California.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do we...
Well, hopefully, maybe they don't have the system set up and it'll crash and burn before it even gets off the ground, you know? I mean...
Just crazy.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, then there's a recent brief update from the Firearms Policy Coalition about how the California DOJ has essentially sabotaged this whole process to make it more difficult and to drag it out. And I don't think that they're going to come start knocking door to door, even though they have apps and they've been doing that to some degree. They're attacking the businesses. They're trying to restrict the economic activity, and they're trying to dry up the supply. So if you can't buy them legally in the state and then you have to go out of state to get it, then you become a criminal,
right?
Because they're depriving businesses the ability to sell you a perfectly legal product that you have the right to own and exercise and use.
Yeah, I think they're the criminals. I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, you can make it legal, but it's not constitutional, which means that it's not really law in the first place in my book. I mean, they will prosecute you and do to the fullest extent of the law in California, I assume, you know, if you're caught doing something like that.
That and there's a hypervigilance that have been forced upon our law enforcement to where when they see a gun, they go full defensive and then they go offensive on you. So whether you're following the law or not, like the two kids who were shot in Santa Rosa for carrying airsoft guns.
Right.
I don't know how many times we had to have positive identification in Afghanistan to even verify. It's like, okay, yes, they have an AK-47 or an RPG. What are they pointing it at us? And there's an institutional problem because it's not that it doesn't say that cops aren't good people, but what it says is the mission that they're given and their rules of use of force by the government is not serving the people. It's serving the government.
Yeah, no question about it. I want to move on to what do you think about this situation with Brian Dolly and his wife, Megan, as far as, it seems like a lot of the law enforcement has signed on with them already and endorsed them, even our local sheriff here, which to me seems, a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for?
Interesting times.
Interesting times because I'm completely afraid of having Megan Dolly and Brian Dolly co-seat.
Well, I think we should be afraid if we had it within any family.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the only family that comes to mind off the top of my head that type of thing, situation is the Clintons. I mean, I'm not even comparing them, but it does scare the crap out of me. And it just makes me wonder why that there would be that many law enforcement jumping on board if there's no strings attached and Brian Dolly's not supporting or using his influence to get her elected.
It's absolute influence peddling. There's no reason for it. The field is still open for declarations until Wednesday. So we could have a dozen candidates pull papers, go get signatures, and pay a filing fee and submit all their documents by the 3rd of July. So for any government official to make any form of formal endorsement before the entire field has been announced and certified is absurd, and it is absolute nepotism. And some people, they like to pick on the nepotism as far as people being appointed or hired, but it's also favoritism shown or patronage granted to relatives.
Why do you think that everybody's in that? I guess I guess it has to do with the unions and so forth. Why are the unions so in favor of Dolly, and his crew? I don't understand.
Well, it's kind of like a controlled glide path to defeat. There's a lot of people, a lot of union employees who have special privileges that they can purchase things like off-roster handguns or have, more than 10 round capacity magazines in their weapons. But we cannot, and they're given exemptions is to curry for votes. And a lot of people don't mind they don't mind watching everything burn around them as long as they're in a bubble.
Yeah, it's kind of like as long as they don't come for me, it's okay.
But they will eventually.
Exactly.
You eventually get the fire or the bubble.
And I can say I've been talking to quite a few people, and I have met less people who are thrilled about her candidacy than in favor of it, and some of them were even Brian supporters. And it's, I like Brian, but his spouse has no business running for the seat, regardless of her qualifications. And it's not even anything bad or derogatory against her. It's just simply people want a diversity of opinion. They want a diversity of their representation, and they don't want that form of influence behind the scenes back and forth where you have a husband and wife chatting about what they're going to plan to do in bed, and then both of them strategically coordinating and not having any form of balance to it.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you, this is the weirdest election that I can remember in my life, where it's like all of a sudden, you got 67 days to get, I mean, this is off the charts.
It's convenient.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it? That's what it seems like to me. It seems to me like there's forces that are helping this. And I have not been a big supporter of Republicans in the North State entirely anyway, because I just don't see them getting anything done down in Sacramento, and I just can't see this being much different than what we've been getting. I mean, am I wrong?
No, and the entire California Republican Party has been on that glide path to defeat. You got to remember the open primary nonsense. It wouldn't have passed when it did, if not for government support or Republican support. So the Republicans helped bring us to the state by compromising away everything. And I'd argue that open primary is a violation of the First Amendment, because it denies the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, the Communist Party, any other party, they are denied the right to assemble and associate for picking who they want to represent them in government.
Well,
at this point, they should get rid of the party system at all in California if you're going to have an open primary. There should be no party.
Well, I mean, they've been doing the fix for quite a while, and it seems like that there's a lot of hand, shakes and a lot of, too many friendly ties with the Republican Party between the Democrats is what I've noticed over the years. And the fact is that it seems like everybody's interested in staying in power as opposed to actually fixing the system.
Absolutely. It's what's in it for you. And there's nothing in it for me other than going out there and putting my name out there to be ridiculed and have my name dragged through the mud because I want to go stand up for our rights. I've medically retired from the military. I don't need a paycheck. My wife wants to leave the state. She wants us to move. I want us to stay and fight. And this is really ultimately the best opportunity I have to try to fight and do something for our state. And one thing that the Republicans have failed on is they didn't do anything to prevent the ballot harvesting. And the reason they didn't is because they've been harvesting ballots for years with the proxy votes within the California Republican Party for the convention. That way they can have control. They can keep any actual grassroots effort from taking over the California Republican Party.
Well, it's kind of like this thing with Trump and the putting it on the census. Are you an illegal alien or not? And then you wonder, what the hell is the Supreme Court thinking? I don't think that that's over yet up there. But it's like, are these guys really Republicans sometimes? Or are they just pretend Republicans?
Well, we have the acronym RINO exists for a very good reason.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. So, So what do you see? What is your vision here? Going into this election, and let's just assume that you get elected. What's the first thing that you would do?
The very first thing I would do is I keep a promise I made for years to a friend. I would submit Article 4, Section 3, state split legislation. I know it would die in committee, and we keep hearing, oh, if you try to submit that, you're just going to get pushed to the side. It's like, well, I'm allowed to submit so many bills, so I would keep my word. I would do it. It would expectably fail, and then I would join on to the CFR lawsuit as a plaintiff, because the ability to represent your constituents is nearly impossible in California. If you have 120 legislators, that's legally an oligarchy for 40 million people, and wow. It has to be changed. And that would be the first thing I would do, and I would continue the cycle where I can on the appropriate issues, especially on our right to keep and bear arms. I would go after that vehemently. Our parental rights is another huge one. I would try to make corrections on that, and undoubtedly it would fail, but we have to get these legislative, or not, they're the legal action groups together, like the NRA, SERPA, FPC, and all of them, have to get them together to work on a game plan on using our incumbents and, our elected representatives who are willing to take the stand. They'll actually be willing to sign on as the plaintiffs and know, yeah, this gravy train might run dry, but I'm going to do the right thing.
And with that, we do need to go to a break. Can you stay with us for the last segment of the program? If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM.
Everybody's gone away. Said they're moving to L.A. There's not a soul I know around. Everybody's leaving town. Some caught a freight, some caught a plane. Find the sunshine, leave the rain. They said this town will waste your time. I guess they're right, it's wasting mine.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
When I think of all the worries people seem to find, and how they're in a hurry to complicate their minds by chasing after money and dreams that can't come true. I'm glad that we are different, we've better things to do. May others plan their future, I'm busy loving you. 1, 2, 3, 4 As long as I'm with you, we'll take it nice and easy and use my simple plan. You'll be my loving woman, I'll be your loving man. We'll take the most from living.
Sovereign Mind Radio. Yeah, boy, that's some 60s stuff right there. It's like, yeah, live for today, forget about tomorrow. That kind of is what got us in this position in the first place, I think.
There's a lot of young people that look at
take
that
some
way.
More of these. Here, have some of this. Tomorrow, the gas tax does come in effect, and so does the ammunition regulations and
July
so forth.
July 1st.
July 1st, so that's a big deal. You might want to go out there and fill up the gas tanks and, you know, go buy some more ammo.
And before Joe gets off here, I want to thank him not only for coming on the show, but thank you for your service. We appreciate men and women like you that have made the sacrifice.
Yeah. So, and, you know, you're a real stand-up guy, Joe. I really appreciate having you on the show and all that you've contributed to, you know, the discussion. And we wish you the best of luck. But how can people get a hold of you?
And learn more about you.
Yes.
Thank you both very, very much. It's really appreciated. I have a website that is being ported over my old website, but it is turner4assembly.com, F-O-R, no number, turner4assembly.com. I also have a Facebook page, and it's Joseph Turner 4 Assembly District 1. And I do have a campaign phone number that, if you don't mind, I can give out if anybody wants
to. Sure, go for it.
To reach me on. It's 530-249-2179. It's a cell phone, so I carry it with me, so it's going to be everywhere. And I am not always in the best area for signal, so if anybody wants to send me a text message and say, hey, call me back, this is who I am, I want to hear from you, that'd be a lot easier to help keep things sorted.
Very
All
good.
Right. Thanks a lot. We
well,
appreciate
hey,
that.
Good luck in the upcoming speed election, and, you know, maybe we can have you back before then and get an update.
Oh, yeah, we have to ask we did Megan. If we get together radio debate.
Oh, yeah, right. You're right. I forgot.
Would you be willing to do that?
A debate with all three candidates on the radio at once?
Absolutely. What about the fourth candidate? Is there Mr. Lane? I can't remember his name.
Well,
I'm not clear if there is a fourth one. I heard there was a Democrat, but I do know.
We want everybody to come on the show, but we only know right now about three. So we'll offer that to anybody who's a contender here in this election. But we wanted to ask you. We've already asked
Patrick Jones,
and we've already asked Megan, and now we wanted to make sure that was available to you and get your answer. And then again, it sounds like it's a yes. So we would then contact you guys and set it up.
It's absolutely yes. I would love to.
Very
All
good.
Right. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for coming on, and we look forward to talking to you in the future.
Well, thank you very much. And did you, you didn't quite remind everybody that it's a 5.6 gallon tax increase tomorrow, bringing the total up to 47.3 cents per gallon.
Oh my
goodness.
Going
to the state.
Yeah.
And our roads are still garbage.
I mean, I guess what happens is we get a little desensitized because there's so much coming at us so much. I mean, I don't even know how anybody keeps up with it all, period. And I'm in it all the time. So, you know, I would have never known that percentage.
Exactly.
What
well,
was
one
the
of my
percentage
friends actually sent me an article.
What was
it? I don't know the percentage, but it's 5.6 cents.
Okay.
You can always, post this stuff on my Facebook page too, Mark E. Kent. And just post it. Yeah, look for the one that has the State of Jefferson flag.
Had somebody in the chat room.
Yeah, so anyway, is there something we need to go over on the chat room?
Nope, that was it. They couldn't hear him. They said he was garbled, so I just wanted to get it clarified why I had him on the line.
All right, very good.
All righty, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
All right, have a great day.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
All right, so we got 5 minutes till the end of the show. There was a couple of things. Did you have any announcements that you wanted to cover at all?
I don't remember if I did. No, I'm sorry. It was kind of a fast-paced thing, you know?
Absolutely. All the way. That's how we do it around here.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm telling you. And I have to take, you know, appreciate both Megan and Joe. I did call them kind of last-minute thing, and they still made time to come on. So, I appreciate that.
Very good.
Yeah.
Do we have any big things we want to get out there?
There is no Reading Patriots meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. So we need to get that out there. No meeting tomorrow at 6 p.m.
Okay.
It's Liberty Week.
Oh, wow. Liberty Week.
Liberty Week.
I thought it was Learn How to Speak Spanish Week. No.
Well, you let me know how that works for you. ain't going to happen. But
I guess we got 3 minutes to go.
Yeah.
There was some headlines I kind of wanted to look at. I mean, we got Merrill Lynch being criminally manipulating the metals markets.
No.
I know. Deutsche Bank, is getting ready to fire 20,000 employees. That's one in six full-time positions. And the economy's doing great.
What I want to mention is something about Disney. Did you see the thing about Disney and the gay changing the characters like in Beauty and the Beast and stuff?
I'm just so sick of that crap. I mean, it's like, come on, just leave us alone.
So just beware, parents out there, grandparents. I mean, you may want to look into certain things if you're letting the children watch or take them to the movies. Just saying. Unfortunately, we have to, you know.
I'm just at the point where we're just going to put bubble wrap and duct tape on their heads and, try to feed them intravenously or something. It's
totally insane.
There's so much crap going on. It's ridiculous. I mean, Judicial Watch comes out with Obama's Department of Justice granted immunity to Hillary Clinton's lawyer who actually destroyed the 3,000. I mean, it's like, what happened to the rule of law? I mean...
isn't that still against the law? I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, and then, it just makes me, I'm just at the point where you're numb. You know, you're numb with all this stuff, but,
But people have to realize right now, especially with the special election and certain things that are going on, it is time that you can get involved. You can make a difference.
Yeah,
and it doesn't have to resort to violence, you know? I mean, we can be heard, but you're going to have to get up off your...
Took us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And make a stance, you know?
Either that or you can learn Spanish and migrate to Mexico and come back over the border and get free everything. That's an option, you know?
Sure, that's an option out there, I guess.
I mean... here's another story. New York Times admits it sends stories to the U.S. government for approval before publication. I mean, do we live in America anymore?
Oh,
wow.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah. Well.
Well, another one down.
Another one in the can. Sounds like it's the music's on. That means we're out of here. Remember... government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And you've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
And this is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. But the FM isn't working, so turn over to 1460.
All right, we'll see you next week.
All right, have a great week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.